Good morning. I just got to stretch the shoulders because looks like I got to carry this podcast today. Sean Ormerod is out with the flu and Joel Kane is playing hurt this afternoon this morning. No, he's been... You are the epitome of man flu.
Yeah.
Because you're a...
I've had it for a month.
I know you have and I feel for you.
But I think it's different. So we had the...
But you can carry your divots to use a new rugby league.
Oh, yeah, I can carry the divots.
When you get crook, boy, oh boy, does the world have to know about it.
Correct. But I will say this, Dan, that... my wife, who's super fit, loves the training. She hasn't trained for a month.
Yes.
So it's flawed us. I am a diva when it comes to being sick.
No, I got lucky. It got me and it smashed me for a week, but fortunately I came out the other side. I can't blame my healthy living because I'm not living healthy at the moment. I can't say I'm living healthy and you're not. But Sean, we're actually not going to... We're going to take pity on him this time.
Yeah.
Because, well... We'll accept that he's got the flu.
Yeah, but a little bit suspect.
I mean, the man's got form.
Yeah, but like this is after a long weekend, and no one does a long weekend better than him.
Well,
I'll go to his socials just to see if there's been any lairising happening.
While we do that, bit of housekeeping. Well, not so much housekeeping, but hope you enjoyed our Monday Origin podcast. How did you do out of Origin, Joel, while you look up Sean's socials?
Very, very good.
Good for you.
Yeah, very, very good.
Good for you.
There's nothing recent here.
Yeah, if we could have just got the 4-point margin, not the 6-point margin, we all would have cleaned up.
Well, my big tip was try bet either side by 6 or less, which now in Sydney, that's 10 of the last 11, 6 or less in Sydney.
So I got greedy.
And... Jack White in the school.
Well done.
Perfect.
Well done. Let's talk about a couple of the big issues. Let me go first. No, I'm going to let you go first here because I know you have some thoughts regarding the Blues team.
Okay.
For State of Origin number 2.
I love Nathan Cleary. He can have that number 7 jersey for New South Wales as long as he wants. But I don't believe we have seen anywhere near the best of Nathan Cleary at State of Origin. He's had one man of the match in 11 appearances. That's when we flogged Queensland. But we've had Turbo and Luttrell. I don't believe he's fully owned State of Origin yet, Nathan Cleary. And my theory is this. Back at club level, Dylan Edwards, he's just militant. Gets to the line, quick play the ball away, he goes, chews up the metres. Then you've got Uppy Corris out, dummy half, just getting the job done, rolling the ruck and away they go. When he plays Origin, James Tedesco's at the back, and you can't ever get rid of Teddy for what he does, but he's bouncing around like a pinball, bang, 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 bang. And then later on in the set, you've got Cookie bouncing around like a pinball, bang, 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 bang. And I actually think it impairs the game of Nathan Cleary. So Damien Cook, based on what I saw in game one, I thought he played pretty well. Do you agree with that?
Solid, yes.
Solid.
One of their better players. He only ran it 3 times, but that's because Queensland slowed down the ruck.
Yes. So, but I believe this. If I had to win this series, which we do, I'd have a little quiet conversation with Nathan and say, Nathan, this goes no further. Bring our Isaiah into the chat as well. Mm. Boys, we must win this. Who do you want a dummy half?
Do you not think that conversation happens?
No, I actually don't think it has happened.
Hmm.
But what do you think he would answer to that, Nathan Cleary? If he's had a blinder, we've won, right? So if you say to Nathan, and the other thing which we need to do...
But hang on, you cannot discount how slow the play of the ball was.
Yes.
I'm not sure Appy would have made any difference to what happened. Now, yes, it stifled Cook's running game, but they're all front foot players. They're all, when they get, look what we saw with Penrith against Newcastle. When they get on the front foot, they're unstoppable.
I agree with that. I still think if you ask the players, and I wouldn't have a clue, but I'm just guessing, they would choose him. The other thing New South Wales have to do, Dan, Queensland and New South Wales, the halves, both combined for 22 kicks each. Both New South Wales and Queensland halves.
Mm-hmm.
Queensland, Daly Cherry Evans had 13 of the 22.
Yes.
Munster had 9. So near enough to a 60-40 or thereabouts.
All right.
New South Wales had 20 Cleary, 2 Luai. He was just an easy target.
Yeah. That's true.
We need Luai's kicks up.
I don't get the criticism of Cleary after Origin 1. Again, Queensland are on the front foot. There was not much Cleary could do. And the blueprint is there. Christian Welsh is the best at it, at just targeting Cleary on kicks and smashing him.
Yeah, so
being in his face.
First kick next Origin, Luai's doing the kick for me.
Well, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? See, is Luai a long kicker? Luai likes to kick close to the line.
But he's a longer kicker than Cleary under pressure.
Well, okay. But you're right, you've got to mix it up a little.
So if I'm on the line, I'm having absolutely Appy Coruscant on my team. And it's no blight on Damien Cook. I just think they're going to function better.
Okay, I think it is moving on to the club land scene. I cannot believe that Cameron Seraldo, who I'm sure is going to be a good coach. Well, actually, I'm not sure he's going to be a good coach. I think he's going to be a good coach. Players like him, his record's pretty good. 5 years. The fiscal irresponsibility of clubs only gets worse and worse. The more money that comes into the game, the more carefree clubs are with that money. I noted the other day, on Sunday, there was a graphic, it was in the Sun Herald, and it was coaches' mid-season sackings in the NRL era. There's been 39 of them, and it was just put in three columns. No reason why, just to fit into the box. The first box, it covered 12 years. The second box covered about 9 years. The third box, which is the more recent one, 9 sackings in 2.5 years.
Wow.
That is because clubs can afford to sack coaches mid-season. Just cut and run. The grant now is more than the salary cap, which means the clubs basically would have to invest in crypto to lose money.
Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is lose money, because they're so far ahead of the game that and they sell, you know, they sell the game to the country and the Bankwest Stadium, and but it again proves, Joel, the clubs cannot be trusted with money. And now that the Tigers are so desperate for Cameron Seraldo, who is unproven, he is not Craig Bellamy yet, he is not Trent Robinson yet, he is not Wayne Bennett yet. He might be. 5 years at stupid $700,000-$800,000 a year.
Yep.
What are you going to do if it proves he's a bad man manager after 2 years? What are you going to do? What, pay him out for 3 years?
Well, imagine if Trent Barrett got 5 years. It is ridiculous. I remember Andrew McFadden, who was at the Warriors, who was going nowhere. I remember Paul McGregor, who was just plodding away. And they're giving these big extensions. I'm like, what for? There's no queue up to get your coach. What are you doing for? Yes, Seraldo, but it's not a gimme putt. You can be the best winger in the world and be an ordinary fullback. You can be the best assistant coach in the world and be an okay coach. Like, we don't know who's the best coach coming through. Jason Rolls. Is it Christian Wolfe? Mind you, the last two St Helens coaches have found it hard, haven't they? Justin Holbrook came through with the same reps as Christian Wolfe. He's finding it hard. Nathan Brown from St Helens. He's found it hard.
Firstly, if Seraldo, he's got the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
You take the Bulldogs job every day of the week, if it's there, because that team will be ready to at least compete next year.
Yes.
They should be a finals contender next year.
Of course they should.
Here's the other thing. They've won one in a row.
Yeah.
Were you there on Monday?
Yes, I was, yeah.
Incredible day.
Yep.
Did you get the feeling, and I'm glad I said this on air before the game so I don't sound like I know it all afterwards, walking through, I thought, there's a buzz about today.
What was the crowd in the end?
20. Felt like more. But because, I don't know, because the fans were pouring in late and it was a nice sunny afternoon, I didn't think it was going to be 34-4, but I just thought, Dogs are going to give it everything they've got today, but now we're calling for, and Mick Potter might be the right guy, but they've won one in a row. They lost to a New South Wales Cup Penrith team last week. They lost to the Wests Tigers in Mick Potter's first game. It's refreshing to see them carefree and scoring points. But again, the fiscal responsibility. I mean, the club hasn't made that decision yet. But we just throw money away.
See, my concern,
clubs should not be broke, Joel. Clubs are perpetually living from paycheck to paycheck. It's because they do stupid things once they actually have money in their hands.
If a club goes broke and relies on the NRL, I've got no sympathy kicking them out. You need to run a business. Like, if you're a plumber out there, electrician, you need to run a business successfully. As much as the players are relied upon, we need those in the back office.
Hey, quick market update here, because I want to bring this up, talking about Canterbury, least wins.
Mm.
I will declare, Joel, Canterbury will not have the least wins this year.
Yeah.
They are going to pick up, they're going to pass some bad teams on the way home, I reckon.
Well, I've always said to you, Dan, I've always said this, and I've been the number one supporter of buy points and how important they are in this game, and they make complete sense to give buy points. And you know why, Dan? Tigers aren't running last. Thank God for the buy points.
How the Titans 650? That's worth a little bit of a look.
My concern for the Tigers is, remember at school, and the substitute teacher comes in, and it's just a PI double five take. And that's my concern for the Tigers.
Leilua, I would have got rid of him too. I know he's copping it.
But again, it's a business thing.
It's a business thing. Now they clear their cap.
Yeah.
The season's gone.
Gone.
He doesn't want to be there. Piss him off.
Yep.
Cowboys would have paid full freight because they now need...
Correct.
They now
Which
need...
Which is smart.
Well, it's smart on their part. Smart on the Tigers' part.
Yep.
So get rid of him. He's done. But
the same reason, why is Dufty still at Canterbury? Why would Dufty still be at Canterbury?
He's on no money.
Is he on no money?
Well, he's on pretty low money.
Oh, fair enough.
But also, someone's got to pick him up now. Now, if he's going to Warrington, yeah, okay, let him go.
Yep.
But the thing with Leilua, now the Tigers can use it. Man, he's on good money. Tigers can use that money to pay blokes early for this year's cap.
Yes.
And then it opens up next year's
cap.
That's
right.
Also, to make the eight, let's have a quick look at that. By the way, for the audio people, Tigers $3.20 for least wins, Bulldogs $3.50, Titans $6.50. I think that's worth a little bit of your time there. Top eight. Are we sure the Roosters at $1.30 are a sure thing? They're 7-7. Rabbitohs $1.65. I'm pretty confident they'll make it. Manly $1.90. Raiders, they're as in form as any of those teams around that mark, $3.10. I think we all get the feeling the Raiders might rue Saturday night, that might hurt them by round 25.
I tell you, this market here, we need the Seagulls and Raiders winning or staying close. And I'll tell you why, Dan. Go through the last 6 weeks of this competition and particularly look at the Sunday fixtures. If the Raiders and the Seagulls fall off the perch, it is dead rubberville. It is complete dead rubberville.
Now, you can bet... go ideas committee.
Really
What's
quickly.
Your idea for
okay, really quickly.
20 seconds.
Yes. For equality, I would have every team play each other once. At that point, the top eight separate. They play each other once again to give us a true minor premiership, true top four, true top eight. Bottom team gets eliminated or plays off against the top team in the bottom. It keeps everything interesting because otherwise you've got all these dead rubbers coming up. And people say, oh, yeah, but you're rewarding mediocrity. The eighth team is mediocre.
Yeah, but there's got to be a purpose to splitting the competition up. Scottish Premier League does it, but that is to give the top six teams two games home, two games away against the gun teams.
Yep.
And the bottom teams are playing for relegation, avoiding relegation. So there's something to play for. Super League does it with the bottom top-tier teams and the top second-tier teams, but there is a purpose because that's about relegation. If we're just relegating the bottom teams to play each other...
No, but they're playing for the eighth spot.
I get that. A lot of those games are going to be dead rubbers too.
And the other thing is, Dan, that the fixtures you've got in the run home, it's the top flight against the top flight every week.
Yeah, I get that. Oh, I understand that. I know who'd agree with that, Channel 9. They'd say, yes, please.
Yeah.
Because the fixed programming doesn't help them in round 24, but as a Fox employee, I fully endorse the way the competition is structured. We've dealt with top eight. By the way, don't back the Roosters at $1.30. I'll tell you why. They got Parramatta this week. They got Penrith next week. They could be 7-9 in a fortnight. Anyway, let's get to our favourite part of the show right here. If Sean's faking, it's because he doesn't have a Bambi again. He doesn't want to get hammered. Do you want to go first?
I'll go first, yep. I'm having a shot at a fan. Oh. Having a shot at a rugby league fan is the ultimate Bambi. Now, when a player is on the field, go for your life. As long as it's not too personal, attacking family and those sorts of things and over the line. But if you want to bag him about missing tackles, go for your life. However, I left the ground at ANZ Stadium on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And the Parramatta boys are all waiting around the car lot. Mitch Moses is there and... three guys come over and get up in his grill and say, Moses, you're a witch's at Moses. You're a witch's at Moses. And this
what's
is
a witch's hat? A cat?
As if to say, like, you're nothing but a witch's hat. You would just go straight over the top of you, right?
I thought that was your rhyme.
No. You're nothing but a witch's hat is basically what they're saying. And to the Parramatta players' credit, they all just bit their lip. How easy it would have been just to charge after these blokes.
No, you can't win that battle.
But you can't win that battle. Mitch Moses, he did the same thing, bit his lip, where I almost didn't, saying, hey, boys, pull your head in. But for me, you can say what you like in the battle of the arena, but in personal space, knowing the fact that they won't come back at you, fans, you do not have licence to go and attack people that way, in my opinion.
Were they Parramatta fans or Canterbury fans?
Well, I don't even know. Well, they could have been either because Fletch said it was Brad Arthur who said it. But but I actually don't know because it could be one of them.
Are you doing your SEN material here?
No, you're testing
it out on there, then you're bringing it here.
That's right. What do you think about that?
Well, OK, it's a gutless act, but you're not going to stop it.
But it's ordinary, isn't it?
Of course it's ordinary, but it's easy to say. I applaud the Parramatta blokes for not biting back.
So if...
Because I bet you someone had a video rolling waiting for the bite back.
Okay, so if Mitch Moses bit back, if he bit back and it turns into an all-ballet, who's in the wrong?
Well, we know morally the fans are in the wrong, but it's not. You know, Moses is going to be absolutely slaughtered.
Yeah, which is not right.
This is not right. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the world we live in. I'm not saying it's fair, Joel.
It is.
I'm getting a little bit sick and tired of Rory McIlroy's sanctimony.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all right. He is pro PGA Tour and anti Saudi Tour. Okay, that's fine. I do believe he has played in Saudi Arabia in the past, Rory. Now, yes, there is a difference between the Saudi International and the European Tour and the Blood Money Tour, which is what it is, sports washing. I heard a great explanation of why this is so attractive to Saudi Arabia and why they're trying to buy these golfers. It's for trade in the future.
Well,
because they know that petrol is going to be in the past, oil is going to be in the past, so they need to reinvent themselves and they want to have golfers in their pocket so when they need to do trade deals with the German leader or an Asian leader. Imagine a round of golf with Phil Mickelson and that just gets the juices flowing. It's pretty attractive. Hey, do you want to come to Jeddah? We'll have some trade talks, but the payoff is you get to play 18 holes with Dustin Johnson or Greg Norman. But I'm just getting a little bit tired of Rory, who I think is in the enviable position of having so much money that he can be moralistic. There's a lot of players.
So was he offered big dosh to go there?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. A lot of them were. John Rahm last night explained, he explained it best. He said, I was offered $400 million. I said to my wife, is $400 million going to make any difference to the life that we live now?
Wow.
And the wife goes, no. John goes, well, yeah, so why would we even consider it? Because they're pretty well off.
Okay, devil's advocate. If they came to you and said, Dan, here's $100 million to be the commentator of said tournament.
I would find a way to honestly, I can't be a hypocrite. No. I would try and find a way to justify it. And I would say, well, I would have to look at the non-disclosure and what I can say and what I can't say.
Yeah.
But I would have a look at it. But my point with Rory came out during the week and said, so he won the Canadian Open. He shot 62. And he said, well, this is my 21st tournament, and it gives me one more than someone else. And that was motivation.
Yeah.
If beating Greg Norman on the PGA Tour list is special motivation, Rory needs help. This is a bloke that hasn't won a major in 8 years. I think he might win this week, by the way.
Yeah.
I think he's right in the mix with Justin Thomas and my bloke Shane Lowry and Matt Fitzpatrick. I think they're the four. But if that is your motivation, Joel, I think there's something.
It was heavy passive aggressive, wasn't it?
Well, I don't think it was even passive.
No.
I think it was just aggressive.
Yeah.
But I'm just getting a little tired. I like Rory. He's the most engaging bloke to listen to. But just a little bit over the top with
Rory.
Passive aggressiveness. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the games.
Mate, same game multi for tonight. Thoughts on Panthers to win 13 plus?
Well, probably not. There's a few injuries this week.
Right, we're going back. Cheers, see ya.
See ya.
Make it look easy with Sportsbet's same game multi. More markets and bigger odds with Sportsbet.
All right, welcome back. Round 15. Jeez, this is ticking over. Now, next week, it's an Origin-only show once again.
Yes.
We have a week off. Not us, but the game has a week off while we have a Sunday Origin, so we'll do it all again.
Just an Origin, and Clayton from Bremer, who's one of your biggest fans.
Oh, yes.
Which, unfortunately, I can't really answer this for you, Clayton, because he says, Joel, can you check with the coal miner?
Yeah.
Is there a market for game two on how many times Teddy's Shaminda Vasa show?
Oh, mate, I'm thinking it's not deliberate, but I think Teddy's comfortable with his ass. It's a good ass, right?
Yeah.
Right. I'm not one to judge other blokes' backsides, but it seems like a good bike rack. He seems too proud of it to do anything about the pants. Because, mate, every week it happens with Teddy. Why is it Teddy's ass that means his pants come down every week?
But, and you're never at your best in a game, Dan. It's a moment away from being locked.
Oh, the whole lot.
Yes.
And I'm not sure, and I don't know what Teddy's carrying.
Yeah.
But I get the sense he wouldn't be bothered if that happened as well. Let's do the leaderboard. Now, I have criticised you and Sean for going on and on and on about the leaderboard when you have good weeks.
Yeah, come on, Dan.
6 out of 8.
That's
for
tremendous.
Yours, truly. 6 out of 8. And, of course, you know when I knew I was going to have a good week? When we didn't do our tips on audio and TV, I thought, this is going to be the week.
Yep.
We just submitted them on Thursday. I thought, you wait. You watch. You watch me have a friggin' blinder. Yes, it did. So 6 out of 8, or 6-1 coming into the last game. And then the Eels, we know what happened there.
What about the multi-killer that was?
Mate. How much money, I want to know, and Sean again is not here to answer this question, how much money that was worth the sports bet? How many multis would have been on Parramatta head-to-head, let alone the line?
I've got to show you something, Dan.
You got 4 out of 8, and Sean got 4 out of 8, so that's a par week. I guess I had an eagle. Well, you two had a par, but the host got 6 out of 8.
Outstanding, Dan.
Can I just... the first week in 15 I've been able to boast, so...
Well, this is boasting as well, and so they should. I got bailed up in a pub. I was there, a mate had a baby, so I had one drink with him and off I went. But, because I had to go. This young punter came up to me and he said, I'm off to New Zealand on behalf of sports, but I said, why so?
Why?
He said, my partner, she shouted the trip to New Zealand. She turned $5 through a same game multi into $4,255.
Tipping the opposite of what we've tipped.
So this is what she did. She had $5 on this same game multi, South Sydney to win.
This is against Gold Coast?
Yes.
Oh, that's
Alex Johnston to score 2 or more.
Oh, you showed me this, yes.
Yeah. Tino Fasulmalaawi to score 2 or more.
Yes.
So it was...
just think about that. Tino Fasulmalaawi to score a double.
Yes. So $5 at the price of $8.51. And they all said, what's your tip for the next game? I said, Amoli Olakau'atu, and thankfully he scored. But the best part about this is his girlfriend, when she put Tino Fasulmalaawi on, in her head she was picturing the hammer, Hamiso Tabuai-Fadou.
Now that makes sense.
So that's who she thought she was backing, but she's backed Tino, and she's got about $4,500 at $5. Outstanding.
Well done.
Outstanding.
Well done. All right. St George Illawarra versus South is our first game. This is at Wynn Stadium in Wollongong. Dragons coming off a very pedestrian performance in Townsville. $2.75, South $1.45. Now, their records are pretty similar, and I guess that's what's kept the odds pretty tight here, Joel. 6-7 the Dragons, 7-6 the Bunnies. The line is 5.5. I don't think this line is enough. They met in round 5. South won in an uninspiring game at Accor Stadium, 24-12. Their record against St George Illawarra is probably their best head-to-head against anyone. 8 in a row.
Yep.
2-1 the Dragons at Wynn Stadium. But beware, those two wins, one against Newcastle, one against West Tigers. We'll get to another team whose home record has been fattened up by some cheap wins. Dragons are 1-6 against top 8 teams. They are a team that is feeding on bottom feeders.
Yep.
Therefore, their record is a little inflated. And that's why I think South, who are not setting the world on fire, 5.5, not enough.
Yeah, I love that. Do yourself a favour, 2 punters for your try scoring. Now, as a rule, all try scorers, it's about 50% more tries scored centre-left versus centre-right. So if I'm tipping a try scorer, typically I'm looking left back rower, left centre, left winger, thereabouts. However, do yourself a favour. The last 2 times the Dragons have played, this left edge of the Dragons, Jack Bird,
yes,
Moses Suli, Ben Hunt, It is a car crash. Canterbury carved them up through Jake Avarillo twice.
Yeah.
Flanagan went through once with Dufty. You got a try off Dufty. So that was at Belmore. And then last week, the right-hand side of the Cowboys absolutely killed him. What's happening is Ben Hunt's rushing up. Bird's not knowing what to do. Suley's not knowing what to do. Dan, it's a mess.
So who's the right side? Is
Tane
that...
Milne.
Tane Milne.
Tane
is
Milne.
That Kalaua Matangi or receiver?
Kalaua Matangi and Tane Milne.
Yeah, that's...
Milne.
Okay, so there you go. Just scored two or more tries. Tane Milne, $11.50.
Yeah.
Oh, Michaeli Ravalawa's back. Alex Johnston. $11 he was for the hat-trick. Now, I called that game on Fox. I have a rule. I don't like betting on games I call, particularly on TV, because I don't want it to come through. And I thought, geez, I saw that Titan side. I thought, oh, this is a Cody Walker game.
Yeah.
And you know when it's a Cody Walker game, who profits?
Exactly right, that man AJ. I think that's, what does that make it now? It must be like 35 tries in his last 20-odd games.
It's
ridiculous.
It's a crazy record. Well, he's 14-13 this year, and they're having a mediocre year. So we're on the same page there. No tips from the coal miner. We'll put them up on socials the next day or two. We get to Friday Night Football. Manly versus North Queensland. And again, I think these odds are a little fat for the favourite. It's at Brookvale Oval, Four Pines Park, $2.50 Manly. $1.54 Cowboys. I know they're coming to Sydney. The line is a very skinny 4.5. Now, Manly have won 4 out of 4 at Brookvale. But the teams they've beaten, New Zealand Warriors, yuck. West's Tigers, yuck. Gold Coast, yuck. Canterbury, yuck. Haven't beaten anyone decent.
Form line, nothing.
So forget the Brookvale record. DCE is back, but so is Cotter. And so is Nanai. They've won the last seven wins for the Cowboys have all been by 19 plus.
Wow.
So if
the last
they win,
seven or 19 plus.
That they've
wins.
Won. Now, there's only one loss in that group. That was Penrith.
Yeah.
That formidable. We've all gone, that's as good a 22-0 loss as you can ever have. And they've scored 30-plus in 7 of their last 8 games. So they've got points in them. Manly, against good teams this year, I don't want a piece of them.
I mentioned to you, Dan, that last year their best points conceded, happened twice, Broncos and Canterbury, was 18 points, the Cowboys. After 14 rounds, 10 times they've held their opposition to 12 or less.
Yeah.
10 times.
Yep.
They're legit. They're absolutely legit. I'm Cowboys, by the way. And I'm South Sydney to cover the line in the first game.
All right, we're on the same page there, which worries me because we're all on the same page. That's when we tend to struggle. Let's get to Friday night's main game. By the way, any time try scorer. Who is this my bet here? Aha. Connolly Lemuelu is, remember, a former centre, and he, I believe, will play on the Morgan Harper side of the field. I think $4.70 left edge.
Yep.
I think that's where the Cowboys can have some joy. The Hammer is playing on the wing. Val Holmes is in the centres. What side is Val on? He's a right centre.
No, Val's a left centre.
Okay, well, Val, you won't get value for Val. I think Connolly Lemuelu might be...
So he'll be on the right going to Harper's left. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yep, I don't mind that, Dan.
So Melbourne plays Brisbane in the main game on Friday night. If Brisbane are full strength, this would be one of the barnstormers of the year. But, well, the way Brisbane are going, it'd certainly be a far more attractive game than it is. Melbourne, no Pappenhausen. We've just been told he's out with COVID, so that tightens it up a little. But no Adam Reynolds, no Herbie Farnworth, no Corey Pakes. Payne Haas has been named. I think he had a little issue, didn't he?
With the shoulder.
Tyrone Roberts has played 8 minutes of NRL in 2 years. He is paired with Ezra Mann. You know the Craig Bellamy way. They're going to go after Mann and completely nullify him because they won't see Roberts as a threat. The line, 15.5 as we air. Melbourne have won 10 straight against Brisbane, and most of them by big margins.
I don't want to pour cold water on the Bronco party, but if you go through the draw seriously, there's a little bit of fool's gold there. I know they're going well, the defence has been well, but they're 2 games against fellow top 4 opponents. They got spanked.
Yeah.
They got absolutely flogged by Penrith, absolutely flogged by the Cowboys. And back at Amy Park, I know there's no Pap, that would have helped, which brings the line back. So it was 17.5 down to 15.5. I think there's an each way bet there with Sportsbet, so maybe it could have been 19.5 to 15.5. Pap's worth about 4. I've got to be on the Melbourne Storm, Dan. I've just got to be on the Storm. And by the way, I'm declaring right now on this podcast, I like to do, I've backed the last five winners of the comp this time of the year, and I'm going in now, Melbourne Storm will win the comp.
Wow.
Yep. I'm so convinced.
Why are you convinced?
I've shown my fiduciary support behind them too.
Why? Why are you anti Penrith?
Well, I just Penrith fell in last year.
This is a test only.
See, we have a test only.
Yes.
Can everyone hear that? No action. We don't have to evacuate.
Yeah, everyone. Only if you're not tipping Melbourne Storm do you have to evacuate. It's a test
only. You have set off the alarm with your anti-Penrith... Hang on. This time last year, Sportsbet were paying people if they'd back Penrith to win the comp.
Penrith fell in. Alert,
we're going to keep going here, ladies and gentlemen.
Alert,
we are going to keep going.
Get on the Melbourne Storm.
All right. All right.
Look, the way Munster's playing at the moment, and if he stays off the source, Harry Grant...
Stop. All right. Fire evacuation safety drill is over. We just had to pause for a second there because that alarm was piercing. But that's the impact of the Joel Kane Melbourne Storm certainties for the comp.
They are.
God, my God.
Dan, they are. Great players like Harry Grant win comps. Pappenhausen will be back. Nelson's back. He's up and about. Brandon Smith, this is his last dance before he goes to the Roosters.
Well, this is their... you know what? Can we put an early ban on last dance?
Last dance.
We have to attack this now.
Yeah.
Because it is their last dance with the Bromwich boys and Felice Kaufusi. It doesn't mean Melbourne aren't going to be very good next year. But this era is about to come to an end. But we do have to put a stop to it.
They're going to be very tired at the end of the year. They were tired last year, the Panthers. They fell in. Absolutely fell in. More motivation for Melbourne. They left it on the table last year. Dan, are you with me at the four bucks or thereabouts?
No.
You don't think
I'm not convinced Melbourne will make the grand final.
Wow. Just on that, how often do you think one plays two in the grand final?
Oh, very rarely.
Very rarely.
How often one ends up playing three in the prelim, which is actually unfair. Well, it's unfair on one because one does nothing wrong and then they end up getting stuck with a better team in three and two ends up getting four. Well, if it works out that way. But
by the way, last 10 years, if you're not top three, you're not winning it.
Okay, top three.
Yes.
Yeah, because top four, then you get stuck with team one.
Yep.
You usually lose, and then you're coming down the hard road. We go to Saturday afternoon, Cronulla versus Gold Coast. This is at Coffs, where Cronulla absolutely smashed. Have I got this right? They've smashed someone there last year. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, that was Metcalf went berserk up there. Oh, that was Redcliffe.
That was, yeah.
That was the when
Nulatalo, that might have been Rocky. It was an afternoon game, which bears no resemblance to this game. And I looked at the weather because this I was going to go nuts on this game with same game multis and so forth. But 70% chance of rain in Coffs on Saturday. So just take that into account. 13.5, $1.20, $4.50 the head-to-head, $1.20, $4.50, 13.5. Cronulla beat the Titans 25-18. In round 11, and I think rain may have had a part of that game. 9 out of their last 10, the Titans have lost overall. No Fifita, no Campbell. Even Aaron Clark is in doubt. They have no dummy half. I don't know why Aaron Clark keeps getting the number 9 jersey.
Who are they getting? They've picked up someone.
Aaron Booth from Melbourne. They've never given him a go.
No.
So maybe they're just convinced he's not the answer.
By the way, Dan, the Titans finished last year 1-5, and their sole win was the Warriors. They only won 10 games last year of the 25.
Yeah, that was a false economy.
False economy.
And their wins this year, 8-6 against the Tigers in the worst game in the history of rugby league.
Yep.
They beat the Warriors. That has proved to be not much of a win. And there was one more, dare I say, cheap win in there as well. So that's why I think at $6.50, they're at least value for the spoon. I like Cronulla here. Because Cronulla, I thought, were under par against the Warriors, did more than enough. Congratulations on your big collects there. But I think there was enough there for Craig Fitzgibbon to go, come on, boys, come on. This is not... We're treading water here. Let's actually start to
the
play
The way Graham thinks it interesting, isn't it? The dynamics changed a little bit. But he could play a big part at the end of the year, so it's a real roll of the dice. The problem I have with them still, Dan... You're not going to feature in the finals deep if you're going up by fours and not sixes. It's a massive problem.
Oh, now, this is something I picked here. Cronulla, notoriously slow starters this year, and Gold Coast, they don't score many tries, but they often score first 9 times this year. So I like this bet just to have a look at. Titans to score first, Sharks to win the game, $3.90.
Look, Flair.
Yeah, look. They ask us to look for weird markets. I think that's a particularly weird market. You never know. We move on to...
Actually, I need a tip here, Dan.
Yes.
So what...
13 and a half. I'm all over Cronulla here because I think with Dale Finucane perhaps coming back, I think that's going to stiffen them up. And I think they might put some points on because I can't see Gold Coast scoring more than 12. So can Cronulla score 26 against that team? I think pretty comfortably.
They can. It's a time of the year too, Dan, where have teams given up? And you're taking on teams who must win.
That's early to be talking that.
That's what happens. We've seen it already.
I don't think that until teams about give up. 18 round 9.
No, they give up in the game. Like their hearts are broken early and it just gets a runaway train. I'll come with the Sharks.
Right. Saturday 5:30, the last Warriors-Redcliffe home game. And they're playing Penrith. I bet the Warriors club is dirty that the first game in New Zealand is a test match. That's going to be unbelievable, by the way. Oh, Warriors Tonga, Saturday afternoon. But then it sort of takes away...
New Zealand Tonga?
What did I say? Warriors Tonga. New Zealand Kiwis versus Tonga. It's going to be a phenomenal game. But it does take the juice away from the Warriors' return home the next week. But, hey, that's not New Zealand Kiwis' problem. That's going to be awesome. That's almost going to be the highlight of the weekend. Might be the holiday of the weekend. $10, $1.05. If you bet the Warriors here, your account should be shut down immediately. The line is 24.5. Now, Ronald Volkman is going to make his debut. He was part of the Rooster system for a while. We're into experimental time for the Warriors here. They've lost their last six. They've got little grunt up front. No Fanua Blake. No Murdoch Masilla. Matt Lodge gone. Ewan Aiken gone as well on the edge.
Did you say no Fanua Blake still?
He's not named.
Oh, wow.
He's not named.
Imagine going to... Because he was supposed to be back. Imagine going to Ad and saying, hey, mate, are you back this week? Who are we playing, coach?
Yeah.
Panthers, no thanks. Back next week.
So I'll just give you this stat on Panthers. Yeah, Fanua Blake in jersey 23. Okay. So just watch. Maybe he is back. 13-1, only four of them by 25-plus.
Oh, right.
So we tend to think they flog everyone. Only four wins by 25-plus, which is the line. That is not going to sway me. I've got Penrith here by an absolute cricket score.
Yeah, so do I.
Back for Penrith.
The substitute teacher in the chair, although Stacey Jones holds that real presence over there in New Zealand.
Does he?
Worst defence in the comp on the right is the Warriors. Best attack in the comp on the left is the Panthers. Oh, that's a fill-up.
I know Stacey does... He's a legend in New Zealand, but does he hold sway with this particular group?
Well, the way they started against the Sharks showed that they were there to play.
Yeah, but as soon as the Sharks scored the first try,
that's right.
That was it. They just fell in a hoop.
Penrith cover.
Parramatta Roosters, the Saturday night game, probably the match of the round, actually. Very tight betting market. I'm surprised by this. Joel, $1.80, $2. Yeah. Yes, Parramatta were awful against Canterbury. We understand that. Which makes me think they're not going to be anywhere near that bad. The line is a very skinny point and a half. You know, it's only Parramatta's fifth game at CommBank this year.
Right.
They took a game to Darwin and they just haven't had many home games. So 3-1 at home. Slow starters. They're four wins and no losses coming off a loss this year. Right? Sam Verrills is back for the Roosters. I'm not sure that's as bad. It's an improvement, but I'm not sure it's as big an improvement as people think in terms of impact on the game. And they did beat Parramatta 31-24 Magic Round. I guess that's got an impact on the market. They do match up well with the Eels.
Yeah, I've actually got this mark plus +8 for the Roosters. Keary's not playing, is he? I know he's named.
Can't play.
He can't be playing. So with that in mind, they're back at Bankwest. It's significant. I can't believe how short it is. I'm very, very confident on Parramatta. Super confident.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Roosters, as I said, they're 7-7, and they haven't beaten much.
No.
The Parramatta was a great game and a great win in the afternoon. But if you go through the Roosters' results, big win over Cowboys in Townsville,
that's
round
a big
four.
One.
That starts to loom large. Beat Brisbane at Suncorp when Brisbane hadn't really started their run. Beat the Warriors. Beat Gold Coast.
Bulldogs beat them.
I understand that. Parramatta, so that's two noteworthy wins. Oh, and a good win against Cronulla at Shark Park. So that's three noteworthy wins, but There's some poor losses in there as well.
Ric Flair-wise, Dan, I'm going to go big here. A massive bounce back. Parramatta 13+.
Oh, OK.
3.90. Right. Actually, I should mention the other game too. Last time I tipped you against the Knights, which also have a weak ride against Panthers, I said, go the same game multi. They'll all score. Tago, May and Kickow. Don't be afraid to do the same thing against the Warriors. Tago, May, Kickow, all three to score.
Terrell May. Oh, he's playing for the Roosters.
Yes, the winger.
Yeah, Taylor May.
Taylor May.
Canberra versus. I thought, wow, that's going to send more people to New Zealand for a holiday. Canberra versus Newcastle is our Sunday 2 p.m. game. Big line here, $1.31, $3.50. Up and a back for the Raiders. Four wins and two losses at GIO Stadium.
What are you thinking about Ponga?
I think he plays.
Yeah.
He didn't look that bad.
No.
But, you know, what the hell do I know? But every time I have a guess, oh, he won't come back today, and then he's back. So what the hell do I know? Newcastle, good record against Canberra. They've won their last three. Look, they're only scoring 12.8 a game, the Knights. I got a feeling that line is a bit too big. I can't trust Canberra with an 11-point start against anyone.
Mm.
So I'm going to take Newcastle here, Joel, with really no reason to. My theory all year has been scratch out Hidings against Penrith. They don't count. So, with that in mind, Ponga, I think, will play. I think Newcastle can at least keep this close.
Yeah, this is one of my better bets of the week. I'm going the Raiders.
Big?
Yeah, I had it marked 15. 17 with Ponga sort of 50-50, but if you think he's playing, I'll put it back to 15. What have you got the line at? 10.5?
10.5.
Yeah. Raiders are going to have a breakout day here.
They don't need to, but there we go.
I think it suits their footy too, like a Sunday afternoon.
I get that.
Yeah.
But their wins this year, 5, 2, 10, 20, 20. So two big wins and six against the Roosters.
$2.15, 13+, but I'll be exploring the pick your own line too, so don't be afraid to push it up closer to 20.
Okay, we get to the last match and a game which is somewhat attractive now. CommBank again, Canterbury versus West Tigers. Don't you dare tip the Tigers. $1.80, $2 minus 1.5. I meant to go through all the old tips. I want to see if you've tipped the Tigers every week this year.
No, I haven't, but close.
Pretty close. 1.5 is the line. Canterbury, I like here. I think they've unlocked something. I think they're going to win a lot of games like this coming.
Sorry, Dan, hang on.
How can you tip the Tiger? No, what evidence?
No, don't
let me influence your tip. Go on. Tell me why the Tigers are going to cover this.
There was good energy last week from Canterbury. Good energy. That'll carry on.
I've talked you out of that. Tigers did beat the Dogs with Mick Potter, 36-22, Leichhardt in round 11. Adam Dewey comes in. I'm fascinated with how Brett Camorley does this. You know, Brett Camorley really has carte blanche here. If he wants to punt Luke Brooks and put him at hooker or put him on the bench, he can do it.
Why wouldn't you?
Because he's got half a season. I'd be putting Dewey straight into the starting side, frankly.
Yep.
And at worst, you got his kicking game.
Yep.
And I want to tip the Tigers.
No, I don't, actually. I don't, because I'm just worried that it's play-up time now.
Substitute teacher
time. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't see much of the Manly Tigers game, so I can't really judge it.
Yeah.
But I noticed after the tackle, Naden, they fell apart, but it was 13-12, so I don't know how to judge that.
Ooh.
4 weeks for that, though, was thin. 4 weeks. I think he got off slightly lightly because he was so sorry afterwards. That's it. That's our tips for the week. Canterbury for me, and you're taking Canterbury as well?
Yep.
Okay, I've talked you into that. I know it. Best bets coming up right now. Joel Kane, you can go first here.
Yes, I'm going to take a massive bounce back here. The Eels 13+.
Well,
the Raiders 13+.
Raiders 13+. No, come on, sort your stuff out.
Well, I've got two here. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong thing. Take your pick. Take them both in a multi. There you go. Both the Eels and the Raiders 13+. But for the benefit of the books, Raiders 13+.
I don't like taking the Bulldogs in a best bet situation. I just can't believe they're only giving... Honestly, I cannot believe they're only giving up 1.5.
Yeah.
Because Canterbury now have proven look, when they're on, what they can do to Parramatta, and they beat the Roosters as well, actually have, and they beat the Cowboys in round one, they're winning form. They've only won three, but they're actually three high-quality wins. Well, certainly high-quality teams. Who have the Tigers beaten?
Well, the Avarillo move to fullback looks good, doesn't it?
They know he's a footballer.
Yep.
To use in a rugby league, oh, he's a footballer. They're trying to find where he is. He's not a harsh player. Trent Barrett partially cost him his job by obsessing with Avarillo in the halves. They could always put.
Was it never going to work out? Was it? That was never ever going to work out.
No, but it was a one-year experiment. Same with Paul Vaughan. It's a one-year experiment. It doesn't cost you that much. They knew they weren't going to win the comp this year.
Loaded question. Who's the rookie of the year at this point?
Is Nanai in the mix? I don't think he is. I think he might have played too many games last year.
What is the? Do you know what it is?
Three or four? Six or seven.
Is Suaalii in the mix, or has he played too many? We'll check that out for next week. But this kid.
How many did Suaalii play coming into this year?
You like Carrizo, him?
I love Carrizo. I love him. He played that first game. Remember Canterbury were COVID stricken, so he and Sakurikas played, and you knew straight away Carrizo.
Every touch.
I was going a bit over the top. I don't give opinions in a Fox call, right? Because I'm there to call the game. But you know, this kid, he's arrived. And I said to whoever was calling, I said, have I gone too hard on this kid? He goes, no, he's good. So can you not cough on me?
So Ali played five last year. So he won't be eligible. But
so I don't know. I can't.
He's legit, Carrizo.
Without notice. I know who's coach of the year. Your bloke Todd Payton is a shoo-in for coach of the year.
Well, he's going to get close.
All right. That's it. Joel coughs up a lung.
Ah, sorry.
That's it. Can you please get the vital words out?
Yep.
I'll do it. Put a betting limit on your account. It only
deposit
takes five.
Limit.
A deposit limit on your account.
Yeah.
And please gamble responsibly.
Thank you, Dan.